not sure I can yet.
It's Tuesday night, June 25th.
It is, yes.
And we got going really good here for about 5 minutes and forgot to turn it on. But no, remember I was affected by that scripture in Samuel about Saul, about made him a different man, and he changed his heart. And I prayed it, and I just realized that that's probably what got honored in the last day or two, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And put me in a better place. And it's kind of made, now I don't know how this is going to go, but I won't say exactly what it is. But I want to try to not commit to some things that I've been doing, you know, to just try to keep that openness, you know. So anyway, I've been feeling great.
I do think it is when you open an area up for the Lord to do whatever kind of renovation or whatever it is that He does. That's the major step.
Yeah.
When you open that room up, let the Spirit flow in it.
When you invite Him in,
uh-huh.
And you tell Him,
yeah,
have that.
All I want to hear is you. You know, you're taking out all the speed bumps.
Yeah, it was, and I said, you know, I want you to change my heart like you did for Saul, but I don't want the same result of Saul. I want David's heart. You know, because that's interesting. We were talking about it Sunday night because I brought this aspect of the scripture on Sunday morning. But, you know, Saul got his heart, God changed him when he was going to be king. Even though it wasn't God's will to have a king at the time, but the people wanted it, so he said, okay. So, but for Saul, he touched him, and it said it made him a new man. I don't know, I shouldn't know anything. And then a couple verses later, it said, and he changed his heart so that he would operate with the anointing for God. But of course, later on, Saul lost that. So you can lose something God gives you. That was a good lesson, too, that even though God can change you and everything else, you can...
That blessing can be lifted.
Yeah, you can make a wrong decision and lose it, you know?
You know, after Saul had done a bunch of, you know, his things that caused the anointing, at least to be king of Israel, to lift, you know, whatever, you know, he disobeyed Samuel or whatever, you know. Still, it talks about his going out and prophesying, you know. He still had that prophesy, you know. Saul went prophesying.
Yeah, well, the area I read, that's when the people knew something had changed. Because it says that... the Spirit of the Lord came upon and says, you will prophesy. And then they're going, oh my goodness, Saul, he's become a prophet like the rest of the prophets? You know, I mean, that was in, it's all in chapter 10.
I see, when he made him a new man.
Yeah, let's see, what is it? Good for you that weren't there.
That's 1 Samuel, huh?
Chapter 10. Yeah. Come to you 7 days.
10:6.
Let's see. Okay, verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And then in 9, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. Isn't that something? You know, when we talk about God's in control of everything.
Yeah, no, sure.
You can change your heart, sure. You know.
Well,
he can make you another man.
You know, all of those scriptures are for our learning, our understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like you were saying it, I thought of the scripture or the prayer of David. And he says, create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit.
Yeah, that was the other. That was the other scripture we went to.
And we were like
renewing a right spirit.
And yeah,
a clean heart.
What was
in other words, that's what we need to be. We need to ask God for that.
Yeah, have a continual process.
Because he can do that.
Uh-huh.
And that's Sunday night we realized, see, those parts of the Old Testament, they are not old. They're not done. Because that's aspects of God that never change.
Uh-huh.
So you can see the attributes of God and how he can move, even though, you know, all the law and statutes and all that don't apply anymore. Those things do,
uh-huh,
you know, still apply.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good.
Because he doesn't stop being who he is with his people.
Oh. And that Jesus used it.
Yeah.
The Testament.
Right.
Yeah, he looked
to and that. For those reasons, because yeah, those mm-hmm things are meant to yeah change and be forever,
and,
you know.
And mm-hmm the problem is, ignorance of people uses the Old Testament customs and legalisms.
Right.
They term it legalistically, and you know, like
which are not, that's not the meat of the word anymore.
No. They made it into a.
It's
kind of letter of the word.
New covenant. You go back to the old covenant. Yeah. You're making.
It's like Paul said in about women in the churches, and having long hair, and he says, but we have done no such custom. After all of the things he's saying, all the things that I have been familiar with in the Pentecostal churches, Paul said we don't have such a custom.
And it is a subject of custom,
yeah,
rather than
yeah
strict commandment or whatever. Yeah.
And I think God went quite a bit out of his way with in Acts with Peter, showing him, giving that vision, and showing him there's no such thing as unclean meat.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he, which was really a staple of the Jewish custom tradition in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty elaborate and highly demonstrative example. Like, yeah, what God made is good. Otherwise, mm-hmm he wouldn't have made it, you know, kind of. And it forced mm-hmm them to kind of really let go of a lot of their thinking.
But then I think Paul, he had kind of say, but if another, I think he's saying believer wants to honor that, don't stumble him.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
as long as he's doing it unto the Lord and not as a custom or a work, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if a person doesn't want to eat meat, fine.
Are you referring to if your brother is offended when
yeah
meat, don't eat meat?
Yes.
Yeah, right. That setting, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And I totally agree. I think the difference between the two would be there's one, don't stumble the individual, but don't hold this as a doctrine.
Right.
And that's the two differences to me.
Because he also says, yeah, the guy that eats it all unto the Lord is good
too. He's fine too.
Fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't throw out the Old Testament just because it's Old Covenant, because there's still good things there.
Jesus quoted the Old Testament constantly.
Yeah.
In fact, those are the only scriptures he could quote.
He was kind of limited.
Until he brought the new one.
Until he brought the new one.
But yeah, you're right.
But
yeah.
You know, you can receive a blessing and lose it, like you were saying. You know, the Word of God is the most powerful thing ever, anywhere, right?
Right.
At the same time, so Jesus says, by your traditions, you make the Word of God by no effect. So, just like a blessing, like, you got this Word of God that created everything, no exception. But your traditions, you can resist this power just by your tradition.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, somewhat change the word tradition by your doings, by what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A tradition doesn't have to be a church tradition. It could be your own
sure
personal doings. Yeah. So your traditions can void all the power of the most powerful. Mm-hmm. For as powerful as it is,
that's kind of where my frame of mind went. How can I expect when I'm not, you know?
Right. So you can lose it. You can have
the
blessing, and you can
yeah
lose it.
Yeah.
You can make it of no effect. But we make the Word of God of no effect. No effect. Not even a little. Halfway. No effect. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a sobering thought.
Yeah.
It really is a sobering thought.
This word of God, I'm not saying, you know, the commandments. I'm saying the word. I mean, basically, yeah, right. God. The power of God. The power of God is no. Is that a word? No. Or worthless.
Yeah, it's a word. No.
By whatever you're, by your doings, by your actions.
But here's the great thing about it. But the minute you repent, you can come right back into it with salt.
Yeah. Right. And, exactly. And of course, if you, there's lots of mercy, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that you all of a sudden do something against the will of God that you're going to all of a sudden lose everything that you ever. There's always another side of the story to God. But there is a scripture also that says, you know, you can make the word of by your traditions, and a tradition or your doings is not something that you do once. It's something you're going to keep doing, actually, eventually. So if you want to do this one thing, I don't think it's like that.
Right.
But if a tradition is something that you do and you keep doing and you repeat, you know, that's a tradition.
I think there is a revelation there, though, because, you know, the church today probably has made the Word of God no effect.
Yeah.
And I don't. Now, I suppose there's always individuals, but for us to expect to be able to go forth in power and in truth and have them have the Word of God have just an immediate effect, maybe he's asking too much.
Right.
You know, there could be good hearts that, may, you know, there would be, you know. Well, but if the word, if it's no effect, it's no effect.
Right.
I mean, even Jesus made the comment that because the people that he was at didn't have faith.
Oh, right.
His power. I mean, the Father took his power off of him. And if God will remove his power from Jesus, he can do it to us.
Yeah, right.
Or not give it. Or not extending your right.
Which is hard to believe, but it says in some places it says that he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. What do you mean he can't do any works?
Right. And I still get a charge out of those people in John 8 or wherever it is where, he, you know, the one that believed in him? You know, he goes, you know, what do you mean we don't, we've never been enslaved to anybody or whatever, back and forth. And then they want to stone him. He slips away. But
Here they are. They believe him. He said, all he says is, if you continue in my word.
Right.
You're my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they said, what do you mean, make us free?
Right.
Those are the ones that believed in him.
Yeah,
they
were
his friends.
Right.
One minute there is.
But again, they thought of free in the natural, not in the spiritual.
Right, exactly. Said, we are not in bondage.
Yeah, we're not in bondage. Right.
You know what scripture I went to? Where did my phone go?
Well, you had it a minute ago.
Yeah, it did.
This is really nice.
Come on. Oh, there it is. By the way, you know that scripture that says they didn't have time to eat? I found it.
Oh.
I found it today, I found it. But what I was going to read.
I found it too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's there. I actually thought for a little bit that maybe it wasn't there because I couldn't find it. Anyways, it's let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so they might see your good works. So now the Pharisees, they were trying to shine their light in front of men, right? But that was a weird works. That wasn't the works that, you know. So a lot of times I think, or we think, we have an opportunity and we have to preach. We got to tell them the word or whatever. But letting your light shine and your good works is possibly as effective as preaching or sharing God's word, because somebody might see your difference. Because And what do I mean by good works? Basically, the what would Jesus do kind of deal, you know, just turn the other cheek, you know what I mean, or go the extra mile. If they give you a coat or what, ask, you know, give you a coat and more. That and be merciful. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about the Pharisee way. I'm talking about the Jesus way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where so, mm-hmm. And let them, and you know, because I'm, okay, pray in secret, and you know, when you give in secret. So those are not works. But there is works that you, he's saying, don't do in secret. Let people actually see your good works. Now, when you fast, do it in secret. Don't be a hypocrite and make yourself look hungry. You know?
Don't fuck yourself up.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, let people see your good works. I mean, I'm not putting it in my words. I'm actually in the... Yeah. These are the very words. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I suppose if you do this, any good works, they'll know you're a Christian, and then they'll say, hey, glory to God, or whatever.
You know, that is a troubling thing, though, because, what? No, you're supposed to go in your prayer closet. You're not supposed to let them all see that. Mm-hmm. You do your alms. You do it where nobody sees it.
Right.
All that stuff.
That's
you fast. You're supposed to, you know, make your face look.
Yep.
As though, you know, that sounds like good work to me.
Right.
Now, what's going on there? What can you? You have the revelation.
well, like I said, yeah. Like, you know, do like turning the other cheek.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Sure. Or when they ask, or the gold yet, when they come, tell you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. When they ask you for your coat, give them, you know, 2 votes or whatever.
Right.
And or, you know, like Paul, you know, let yourself be cheated. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let, who cares? You know what I mean? Don't mind your own business. You know what I mean? That's works. The Bible says,
don't
mind
swear
your own
if you hit your finger with the hammer.
Right.
You know,
exactly. I mean, it doesn't say that, but yes. You know, just good. Certain things are to be shown of because it's a good work. It's not average to do those things that Jesus said. So actually, people will actually notice those things. And that could open a will. If Jesus is not saying that to do, will be a door for something. Maybe not for you to do something, but it will make an impact or a difference in a certain person. And then God will use somebody else to get a hold of that person. Not necessarily because of your good works means that God is going to use you again to preach to a person. But all of a sudden, you made an impact on the person, knowing that you do a good work and glorify the Father. So the Father will get glory for your good work. Now it's up to the Father what he's going to do with a person, who else is going to be a tool of the Father to do that person, you know.
You could set a good example in praying and giving alms and all that, and maybe it'd be good if people saw that and said, hey, maybe I should do that too. You know, I'm getting a little bit devil-headed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I just find that a troubling distinction, though.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek and, you know, they take your cloak, give them your
right,
or whatever, you know.
Turning your other cheek, you couldn't do it in secret.
Right. No, not very well. That's right.
And right. Going the extra mile, you couldn't do it. I mean, somebody will know.
Right.
If you're, you know.
Isn't
but
it interesting, though? I mean, I'm sorry. Did I cut
that? No, you didn't.
Because I was listening as you're citing examples. You know, one is kind of like personality traits or decisions that you make. You know, I'm not going to get upset, or I'm not going to get mad, or I'm not going to accuse you or whatever. And then the other ones are more like things that you do. They're actions. You know, I'm trying to separate the two. Because, for example, fasting but do it privately, or praying, exhorting, you know, intercessory prayer, do it privately. I think those things can be viewed as glorifying you is not glorifying God.
And that has to be the
thing. And I think the other things are just, you know, just being kind. You know, I was thinking of the song that we play often is let them see you and me.
Right.
You know, let them see godly attributes mm-hmm. in our behavior.
You know, the things that I, if you want to put a definition to it, are maybe like the things that are between you and God are keeping me secret. You know, prayer, fasting, charity, mm-hmm. or whatever. But if it's not between you and, because if it's between you and someone else, let it, someone else and whoever else see it. I mean,
in my heart, I see the distinction.
Yeah.
You know, people want to get extra credit
yeah.
somehow or other with all their peers
yeah.
by being seen to, you know, show
right.
it on, you know,
right.
whatever. You know, or whatever. And I think Jesus makes that pretty clear there in the Sermon on the Mount that it's that kind of thing that, hey, no. Do it. And,
you know, Paul says, you know, if you get punished for doing wrongdoings, but if you get punished for not doing wrongdoings, you know, glory to God.
Exactly. Right.
You know what I mean?
Corky, mm-hmm. could you look up the word jot? J-O-T. I don't want to see where that is.
In the Bible?
Yeah.
What are you after?
Jot and tittle.
Yeah, I want to see I want to see
say no
what it says. Not one jot of the law will change, or one jot of the scriptures. Or I want to see what it says, because if it's you know, the Bible tells us in Galatians that the law is spiritual.
Only one location, Matthew 5:18.
Okay.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not or one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all
okay.
be fulfilled.
It is a law. So anyway, the law is spiritual, it says in Galatians. So it's not that the law is not what we, you know, something that we go by. Of course we go by it. Jesus fulfilled the law. But the thing is, the rest of the legalism of the law, if we're not careful, people embrace them. And the devil gets involved. We're talking about the Pharisees. And Jesus constantly said, you are of your father the devil. What kind of leader were they then? Was that right? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Was that God's revelation of their condition?
Mm-hmm.
God was saying, these guys are of the devil.
Yeah.
And so John said, he says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So all of a sudden we change the false, the spirit to a prophet, to a man. You know what I mean? There's tons and tons of church leaders at this point that are out of their father the devil. They do things to be seen. They want to be esteemed highly. They want to be elevated.
Yeah.
Like that
right.
day that they tried to elevate me and it made me sick to my stomach.
Put you in a
yeah.
chair, a palanquin, or whatever they're bearing you.
I
still remember the look on your face, Keith. You were not a very happy man.
Bob will miss that.
No, I was there. I was about to help lift you up.
Yeah,
I remember Pastor Delgado, he called me, he was one of the strongest guys.
I thought it was before that.
I was right there.
It was a sad, sad, horrible thing.
Yeah, no, if you wouldn't remember me not being there, you're gonna keep them.
But that's a problem. They might have dropped you here.
But see, that's the churchianity today. That's what they're like. It's like elevate men, lift them up.
Right.
Clap.
I found that whole situation kind of interesting. And looking back now, it is, you have always had a bend towards not elevating yourself or treating yourself different than the congregation. And they came in and said there needed to be some sort of separation between you were somehow in a different place towards God than we were. I mean, the shepherd and not being a shepherd.
There's some from Seattle that are trying to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what Terry Byrick wanted to do. And You know, that was embarrassing for her one day. I mean, he didn't even know what she said. But she said, right in front of a bunch of people, she had confronted me. And she said, I just can understand why you get along with these people so good. You're just like them. Did anybody ever hear that? Did you
hear that? I didn't hear it.
That was before my time.
Yeah. You're just like them. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, what's wrong with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't particularly like the King James 5:18, Matthew 5:18, so I just went looking around. The Berean Study Bible says, "For I tell you truly, until heaven and earth pass away, not a single jot, not a stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished."
You know,
I wasn't grokking how they were using past. Yeah. I had to hear a different word before.
And I have a different, the smallest letter or stroke is the way it is in the Standard Revised or Standard.
God never ever said anything that he had to.
You know, you start.
What's the word? Go backwards.
You start reading the book of Leviticus, and there's a whole lot of jots and tittles that you'd want to have done away with. Them. You know,
things would be so much better if we didn't have to worry about these.
Well, you know, they just
You know, what it says though. Once you become born again, and he begins writing the stuff on your heart and mind, your spirit and your heart doesn't want to do all those things. Still do, but the fact is, you're not doing it because you better do it every week. You just do it because your conscience says you don't want to do it. Okay. You know what I mean? Your heart doesn't. It's like you want to fulfill all of that just by serving God, by loving Him, and
you have it be essentially the equivalent. On the other hand, he has chosen a funny way of expressing it when he says no jot or tittle.
Right.
When that stuff is really obsolete. Seriously obsolete.
I'm not familiar with Leviticus at all. So tell me a little bit about it. Like,
Everything that was laid out that they were to follow.
Oh,
It's a lot of stuff.
Listen to it for a while, Pablo. It'll be enlightening for you.
Just read it.
I just want to give me an example.
You'll probably go asleep.
You have to you have to sacrifice a goat for your sins. You have to.
Women have to do certain things during their periods, men have to do. And you got to. There's so much stuff.
And if you touch someone who has sin, then you got to cleanse yourself and. That takes a week. And
so what happened to all that, anyways? Well, I'm not saying let's go do it.
Thankfully for us,
we got to keep all those jots and tittles.
Christ came and said that's all the old covenant.
Right. But think about this. Maybe a lot of those have already passed away in the new covenant. I mean, it's a work.
For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away.
Right.
Well, that's when they're all gone.
Not the smallest job, shall pass. So long as it comes. Well, I'm not arguing with what Jesus said.
No.
I'm wondering what the heck he was getting at.
That kind of sounds like you're arguing.
I don't intend for it to be.
Welcome back, Charlie.
There's a revelation there that I don't have.
Well,
your
point about you look at certain parts of Scripture, and then you look at that Scripture, and you go,
"What's up?"
That's you're going, "That's
up." But so define law. So Leviticus is actually this is the law. Is that basically it? So it says the law is this, and all of a sudden it starts naming. Because Jesus, one of the greatest things that Jesus did, I think, is saying, and this is the law and the prophet.
Too much work.
That you love God and your neighbor and yourself.
Yes.
So that kind of helps in a bunch.
Yes. And I'm good with that.
Right. And now Paul, he elaborated in that a little bit. He said, If you love your neighbor as yourself, you wouldn't lie to him, you wouldn't steal from him, you wouldn't be jealous of him, you would go the extra mile for him, you wouldn't turn the other cheek. Mm. So basically, that covers up.
There is the law.
So
yeah,
so
there, and I'm good, and that one, I can get my head around.
You know,
what I can't get my head around is this: no jot or tittle is right. Gonna, you know, pass away until, you know, because. Oh boy, you read the details of that Levitical law, and you really want to do a big rework of it. I'm talking in the natural.
Okay, so
I'm talking, you know, because.
So again, what does it say? No jaw, no jaw
till from the law till all be fulfilled.
Okay, so now listen,
and that's interesting.
But
yeah.
No, Jesus says, "I did not come to what? I did not come to break, but to
fulfill the law."
Well,
just in where? Matthew 5:18?
Yeah, Matthew 5:18 is the John 2.
I was listening and I thought I picked up on something.
Yeah.
So Jesus, he says, "I came to fulfill the law." So Jesus fulfilled it.
That's what I'm wondering.
Okay, so it is fulfilled. You know,
but we haven't.
I know, but it doesn't say that we have to.
And the only way we can fulfill it is through.
Through
right.
Him, see,
right.
Which can be done,
right.
Eventually.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, we don't have to, you know.
In fact, it's the verse just before that
right.
That you're referring to.
Yeah.
Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophet. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill.
Okay.
For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke, jot or tittle, shall pass away from the law, until all is accomplished.
So I suppose, well, heaven and earth hasn't passed away, so the law hasn't been fulfilled, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
but
I mean, when he says the kingdom is at hand,
yeah. And what does Jesus say just before he dies? It is done.
It is finished.
It is finished.
Right.
So as we were talking, I was thinking, well, if you look at that, it says, till all be fulfilled, well, I'm speculating, maybe that meant when Christ completed being the perfect sacrifice, he did in fact fulfill at the law.
Well, it does say, though, I say unto you, until heaven and earth shall pass away.
Now, read 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
I'd like to know what these commandments are that he's referring to.
Right.
You start looking at those Levitical exhortations.
You know, let's look at at Acts and everything after that. We don't see nobody teaching that stuff. Nobody's teaching Leviticus. They don't even mention
the commandments. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know what I mean?
Well, except like when God teaches Peter, because in Leviticus it says don't eat this and don't eat that.
It's a contrast. Yeah,
yeah. So God says
about the unclean meats, but he gives them that fish.
So then, so isn't part of that that passes away when God says to Peter?
In a way, God is saying enough of that.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know. So yeah,
but I think what it's saying is like the essence of it, you know, it'll all be fulfilled in the end time. Mm-hmm. Man will be living to where he's not doing those things because he's got this closeness with God.
You know, wonder if you could trade the word law for God's word. Wouldn't that be...
Well, you can use the law as his word, because in Psalms and stuff, you know, keep my law, keep my statutes, it's keep my word, is
right.
What it's saying.
So now, God's word, see, God spoke, you know, past tense, to the prophets. Now he speaks, present tense, you know, and future tense or whatever, present, future, ongoing, you know...
through his son.
Through his son. So the law, the new law, you know, it's Jesus and on. So you know, not one word or tittle will pass away from the law until all is fulfilled. So the law, I think we could substitute you know, I'm not sitting firm on this, but we could substitute law for God's word, and God's word from the mouth of Jesus, through Jesus, not through the prophets.
But I think it'll be done away with when Jesus comes back and takes everybody into heaven.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's saying. Yeah. Then it's all been fulfilled.
You know, I haven't read Leviticus and all that stuff, and I have nothing in me that I don't feel directed or nothing to go and read it and do it.
So don't do it. Just go and read.
But, right. But it is good to be a little oriented to it.
Yeah, I would read it, but I don't feel directed by God that I should all of a sudden start doing that.
You know what you'll appreciate?
Yeah.
You'll appreciate the work of Jesus Christ
right.
if you go read that.
Right.
Oh, we don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
If you believe in me and follow me.
Right.
I believe Brother Ken came up to me a couple years back, and he was spending some time in the Old Testament. And he made a comment to me, and I said, yep, God did not waste any time and suffered no fools. I mean, you go through the Old Testament, and you have a real good appreciation for the judgment of God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty swift and pretty severe.
Yeah.
Left no doubt about who God was and how he truly was the God, and he was all-powerful. If you go through the Old Testament, you go, and then as you just said, thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry.
Now, there's a scripture someplace that says, without the law, there is no sin.
Right. Yeah.
There's no sin without the law. And let me read a scripture in Galatians. I had a hard time finding it. I know where it is in my other Bible. It says, what service the law? What is the purpose of the law? It was added. God added it. I can't say it, but added. A-D-D-E-D. Because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was to it was ordained by angels by the name of a mediator, Jesus being the mediator. So the law was brought about. God brought the law in because of sin, and before the law came, sin was not recognized.
Were you reading 3:19?
I know where I was coming from a little bit.
Galatians 3:19.
Galatians.
And then it says, and the law is for murderers and so forth. But if you're not, then it doesn't apply to you because you're already fulfilling it.
Right.
So that's kind of what I was saying about, you know, trying to say about the jot and tittle. Because you're not a murderer, you don't want to murder, and you don't want to, then the law doesn't apply because you're already kind of beyond the law, you know. You're fulfilling it by your walk, you know, by not doing those things.
It also says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
To bring us to Christ.
And so Jesus says, you know, they're all gung-ho for Moses, and he says, if you would have believed Moses, you would believe me. Because Moses wrote of me.
And Paul says, I wouldn't have known I had sin if not for the law.
Yeah.
So that's how it does lead us, because it lets us know that, we do sin, we can fulfill it all. So thank goodness for Jesus Christ, because you can repent right away and have that part wiped out, you know. Mm.
Yeah, it was just a way so we could hook us.
Yeah, but I don't blame. I mean, really. But
you know what?
I don't blame you, Pablo.
Huh?
I don't blame you. I stay as far away from that as I can.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's nice to have a little dose of it just to be familiar with.
Yeah.
So you can see what kind of actual condition the Israelites are in.
And I'll go out on a limb and say something is just out and out ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I read and I went, you gotta be kidding. There's a thousand things here you're supposed to try to keep. Or remember, you know. A
bunch of details.
And if you look at the Bible, it's just one volume. Three-fourths of the Bible is Old Testament.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Only the back quarter is the New Covenant. It's pretty hard to interpret that back quarter, but it's a lot. Need a lot of help with.
Let me know when you think we've kind of extended what we're going to on this subject, because I want to bring another one if possible.
Well, I think we're ready now.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I had two things that I felt like the Spirit shined on a little bit, because I ran across the scripture where Jesus says, and he tells them, I've come from heaven. And I think then later on, that's when they said, well, that you're calling yourself this God, you know, or whatever. Well, I said, so I went and read, you know, like what happened to Mary. And where's the Holy Spirit? Well, it's God, right? Where's God? I realize he's everywhere, but basically he's in heaven, you know. And so if Jesus had to know, because I'm sure Mary shared with him who was real, you know, how he became. I'm sure she said, well, I was a virgin, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed me and I was, you know, made pregnant. So Jesus, would knowing that, why wouldn't he say he came from heaven? Because your father is the one who, that's how the whole world goes by genealogy and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. So how else could, you know, he knows who his father is. So he knows that's where he came from. Mm-hmm. Even though he was conceived. So it kind of explains why he would say, I came from heaven. It didn't mean he was in heaven all along and God and or anything else. It's and now, where do you say you're from if you're born again? It says you're born from where? Mm-hmm. Above.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have the fullness of that like Jesus walked in, but we want to, and we will eventually, I think. So that was one aspect.
That sounds right to me.
You know? Well, then I was reading when he was, the whole, and we did touch on this about man and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, in John, I think it's 6, where we were, So, all of a sudden I saw something. If Jesus, before he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he sets it up because he says, I am the bread, I am the life, I am the manna that comes from heaven. So if you have spiritual ears to hear, you're seeing he's presented it. And there are types that are from God. I know we got into all kinds of types with Seattle, you know, type for everything. But God has a few types.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is, he explains, but they're not hearing it because they don't have spiritual ears. So if you read, like, probably from, this is the work of God, 6:29, of God that you believe in him who he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform? And he says, our fathers, and then they say, our fathers ate the man in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who, this is where it is, he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So right there, he is the type of man. So, and I think what he did is, when he knew there were ones that weren't going to hear what he was saying, then he got really kind of eat my flesh and drink my blood, because he knew the ones that were that it would send them away. Mm-hmm. And after I read that first part and went, yeah, he's the bread, he's the life. You got then. I mean, I'm not offended, or it doesn't mean anything to me to eat his flesh and blood. It's like I have to consider eating flesh and blood or anything. I just need to partake of Jesus Christ, you know, of his spirit, of his words, of everything, you know.
Well, you know not to take it literally. You take
spiritual.
He's already set it up as being.
So that you're not stumbled by eating his flesh, and which we have actually been a little bit because we said we didn't quite understand it. But when you read, like, from about 32 all the way through to when he says that about his flesh and blood, he's showing how he's a type and that it's, you just got to partake of him, you know. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with eating his physical flesh and blood. But that's what he says, and that's what stumbled them, because they didn't see the first part.
They didn't pay attention to what he was saying.
That's
good. That's good.
But I've always taken that his flesh and blood is the word of God. It's his word to eat his flesh and blood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you read the man, it's basically what he's saying. It's what I am, what I brought, my Father sent me, you know. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in that day. And that's after saying that he's the manna and the bread. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's the fact of believing who he is.
He goes, and right after that, eat my flesh, drink my blood, he says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and are life.
Right. So if you saw the other, then that makes sense, and the part in the middle is just to throw off those who are... don't want to believe and walk with it.
Although, I guess my own thinking is that we cleanse ourselves too much from the factor, we lose something.
What factor?
Eating his flesh, drinking his blood. Ooh, that does not sound like something I want to do.
I don't.
Well, yeah. I guess my point is, it's the type of the bread. You know, you're right, and yet he does say that. He said he could just leave it as he could remind us. Now I'm just talking in terms of the manna, right? Yeah. Or whatever. So recognize that I'm not really talking about blood. You know, when you drink that wine stuff, he could have done that. He didn't, I guess my own feeling is that it is an expression of the kind of intimacy that we are to have with him, one that kind of offends good taste, if you will. You know? Not that the other's wrong. What you were saying is right.
What?
But his way of expressing it is one that conveys to us, boy, this is a pretty serious deal that we got going on here.
You've got to eat of him.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not his flesh and his blood.
But he's using that as a way of conveying what we are to do, which involves an uncomfortable intimacy. we're getting a little too close to the guy.
He did say, in fact, eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Yeah, right.
He did say that. But it couldn't possibly mean to chew his arm and his
bread. We are nonetheless left with that image.
Right, yes. Because now he we don't see, there's no passage in the scripture that of nobody chewing on Jesus. You know what I mean?
Literally.
Right.
That's right.
And in the Acts and on. And in today, okay, so let's say we take it literally. We can't, first of all, because
we don't have the opportunity.
We don't know him. We don't even know him after the flesh.
Right.
So it is a spiritual.
It is, and yet I think if we sanitize it too much,
yes, we don't want to do that.
We lose something of the intimacy and the difficulty associated with this thing.
Right.
The way that we are to be part of him in some way that involves, flesh. Mm-hmm. We don't want to sanitize it. We don't want to say, you're right.
You're right. I mean, he's saying that it's the manna. But we don't want to. It is nonetheless something that ought to make us uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable because nobody does it and nobody wants to do it, eating God's word. It is
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
Well,
see, if we go way back, Jesus is in us, and the word was made flesh.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, if we use, yeah. I mean, of course, maybe I'm stretching it way too much. But it does say, the word was made flesh, and if Jesus says, and if he's talking about, you know, I see it as eating the word, but it is uncomfortable, and it is weird, and it, because nobody wants to eat the word. You bring it up, and nobody wants to. It is weird.
Right.
Just like when Jesus said, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood," nobody wanted to. It is weird. Just like eating the word.
But you know who it was weird to?
What? Who?
The ones that didn't believe.
Right.
It's really weird.
It didn't bother. I mean, yes. The disciples, after that, said.
But no.
A bunch of them didn't follow because it
from
was,
that time, these are hard. Walked with them no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Right. Absolutely.
But they said, these are hard sayings.
It is. Yeah. You know it. But let me tell you something.
Well, a lot of parables were hard sayings.
Yeah, but
you know.
Anyone of us go to any church of your life and say, "Consume the word day and night, eat it, blah, blah, blah," they will all leave just like they left Jesus. And they say, this guy really wants us to eat the word and listen to it every day and do that.
We got books.
It is that weird. It is weird.
Yeah.
It is out of normal.
I'm not saying there is, we don't want to sanitize. You know, the idea of a little bug, you know, going down or whatever,
I can't put that there, though.
I see what you're saying.
To support what you're saying.
You like this, Jeff?
I think it's very, very important to remember that Christ said, "Drink my blood." Especially when you think that Christ is the perfect sacrifice, and he's the sacrifice that made the new covenant, because if you do, thinking back to the Old Testament, they were killing and splattering blood across every altar for generations. Christ had to shed his blood in order to fulfill the law to be the perfect sacrifice. Now, consuming it, in the natural, if you take that in the natural, I get that. But I don't think you can just say, it's not important because he mentioned blood and flesh and you just rile that up into being, he means the word of God.
Right.
I think you have to be, he said blood and flesh and there was meaning to it, especially when you think back when he was fulfilling or creating the new covenant compared to the old covenant, because he had to fulfill the law, and there was a lot of flesh being eaten by the priests, and there was a lot of blood being splattered on every altar for many, many generations.
And that is the context.
I think he's saying you have to see that I gave my body and my blood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
And that's
to fulfill this.
And when he's saying see it and drinking it, he's saying believe it, eat it. The words that I'm saying, not.
I think we need to retain at least some of the actual words that he is expressing. Not that we eat his, but it conveys, it gives us a reaction where, whoa, this is not an easy deal here.
Yeah, it explains why
accepting Jesus Christ and all he did and to walk in his steps, how easy is that? That's the point.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
No.
Right? Yeah. It's not easy. Uh-huh. So even to believe the first part of it is not easy, that he's the manna from heaven.
That he is the manna from heaven,
you know.
And Jesus clearly knew those words would be offensive mm-hmm. and divisive.
Yep, and
then he turned to the ones he chose and said, are you two going to leave? Right. And they turned and said, no, because we really know who you are.
Yeah.
But in a way, it shows that when you present the fact of consuming God's word as daily bread, most people are going to be offended.
Right.
And depart.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And also, you know, Jesus is the Lamb of God. And, you know, Lamb is edible. And, you know, there's this, I don't know if it's in Proverbs or in Psalms or maybe someplace else, but somebody had a scroll with God's word, and he ate a scroll, you know, paper on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was, and you gave me the word, and I ate him. He said someplace. Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah.
Someplace.
I don't know, but we'll look.
Oh,
let's see what we can find.
In the Old Testament.
Yeah, Old Testament.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Old Testament.
It's bitter in my. It was bitter in my. Well, part of it too was, wasn't that John when he was. John when he was
the word also scroll
in the Revelation.
Word yeah, you'll find it.
It was bitter in my. To taste, but sweet in my
mouth.
I think it was sweet in my mouth.
What is before you eat the scroll and go and speak to the people of Israel?
I don't know.
In Ezekiel 3:2. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll, so I opened my mouth. Oh, so it repeats. Well, Ezekiel 3, just start 3, 1, 2, and 3. For, you know.
But is that contained in a vision that was a visitation?
One way or another, vision or reality, and, you know, eating the scroll. You know what I mean? So eating the word, basically. I'm just going to eat the word.
Well, that's the way I see it. Right. Eating the word.
I guess I just don't want to make Christianity too respectable a religion. You know?
Well, I think there's plenty of it that will not make it respectable.
Yeah.
If you try to be a true Christian and follow the scripture, you know, the true scripture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially today, actually, Jesus and everything he did and said is not politically correct. Today.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? So it's not respectable or whatever in the masses. Or to the popular belief, or whatever you want to say, is not Jesus is not politically correct at any time. Maybe he is here and there, but
see, and when they have communion, it's in remembrance that we drink, eat this bread, and drink this wine. It's in remembrance.
Yes,
of his death.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's more to be enlightened on that whole subject. I just, saw a little bit there. That's all.
Yeah. Well, and again, right?
I thought it was.
Well, I know that's a big thing even today in Christianity because of Catholicism, who imply that you are eating his flesh and blood. Now, how in the world can that be when he's in heaven and he's He has no flesh and blood anymore.
Because they don't have the revelation of that.
That's what I mean.
And then the thing that they use for his flesh is this powdery little nothing of a thing, you know.
Yeah, see, that's what bothers me about some of that. Because, you know, you don't want to get so literal that you think you have to be eating.
Yeah, the first time the Catholic Church starts using types and you throw stones at it. Unreal.
Yeah, wrong type. Ungodly type.
Just remember, it says, and the Word was made flesh and bone. So, eating a flesh is eating a word. Is
going back the word,
It went from made flesh to go to heaven. So we don't have the flesh. And I'm 100% saying what you're saying. I mean, it's like you don't want to sugarcoat this thing. It does say eat the flesh, drink my blood. You don't want to say, well, you don't have to. No, it does say that. you know. But yeah, we don't want to.
But you got to put in a spiritual.
You do, and it is a spiritual. Yes.
Because nobody sat down and said,
"No,
well,
nobody ever did."
Jesus.
No, nobody ever did.
You know, no. I mean, the disciples didn't.
No,
no, that's right.
Nobody, no, no.
I think we are to be troubled by it, though, and therefore advance.
I think there's the importance you're saying. It's super important, but it's. I think there's a. It's the way it's presented that. See the way it's presented. How much every day do I actually eat the word and believe every part of it?
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's still difficult.
Yeah, if we did, that would be good enough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. You know,
we have a teaching in there when Jesus said that, but also Jesus is like, he basically wants to get at it. Okay, drink my flesh, eat my blood. Okay, you guys are out of here. But he can maybe care. Okay, let's get at it. I'm gonna get more serious yet. So let's go the narrow path now. There's no room for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it's like, this is it. Okay, well, this guy's crazy. You can go by now.
They took it literally.
Right.
And they just thought, well, we can't handle that.
This is similar. I mean, think about it like that. It's similar to the when he was talking to the young prince, the wealthy young prince. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what have you done? And he said, well, I've been doing this, 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 this. And then Jesus goes, yeah, but this you are not ready to do. He says, well, then sell everything. Mm-hmm. And he lived like a hermit. He walked away sorrowful, knowing he wasn't willing to do mm-hmm. what was being required. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Jesus kind of makes this comment like, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they all said, too hard. I'm done.
Yeah, it's all in the same context.
It's a
give up all you have. Yeah. Give it to the poor and come follow me.
Mm-hmm. And I do like the feature that it doesn't involve the brain.
Yes.
You know, it's the digestive system. It's not the mental exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But it, you know, it goes on. So it's like, yeah, okay, that's what you got to do. And you guys are all checking out. Okay.
Mm-hmm, right.
And now we're going on.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I brought something that was totally acceptable and true revelation.
Well, the better part, though, I think, was what you shared earlier about how Christ set it up with what he said in John 8.
Yes,
early on, and said, hey, thank you, six, and said this, and then when he kind of came back to it, he said, well, he already said this, now he just put it in a way that there was some quote-unquote shock value, and people
said, there had to be spiritual discernment, or have a heart to receive it.
You had to be in the right place, and the spirit on you to know that, no, not literally flesh and blood, but the words that he was bringing, which were the words of his Father, which is God's Word. And if you didn't understand that, that was really offensive. And if you did understand it, you're like, no problem.
You know,
let's go.
Well, I want the problem to remain.
Well, I don't even know if the disciple had the full revelation, but they realized
they clearly didn't.
They say, you have the words of life. Where are we going to go?
They knew enough not to walk.
Yeah, they weren't so offended that they walked.
Because there was another...
It wasn't the deal breaker.
Because the thing, he said, I'm going to go and come back, and it wasn't until after, and they said, oh, then the scales, then now they recalled what he said, oh, this is what he meant.
Yeah.
So the words were there, but the revelation didn't always accompany the words.
Now, listen, this is a good teaching out of this situation. Like, when I first started listening to the scriptures, and you guys too, I know there was all these things that I would have liquid paper, you know what I mean? What do you call that?
White.
I was like, you know, so
this doesn't apply,
right?
Not ready yet for this,
right? So basically, now, but what did we do? Did we walk away? Like those disciples, we didn't walk away.
No,
we just stuck with it. You know what I mean? So there's all these things that are hard to bear. And I don't want to say we, I would say God made us stick with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, but we didn't, now, those people that walked away, they're crazy, but let's hold tight. Let's see what else he's got to say. And then they could have understand. So we have to be thankful that we didn't walk away.
Because it said that they walked with him no more.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have to be thankful that we didn't see something that offended us and walked away.
Walk with him no more.
Trust me, I didn't like it. Lots of stuff. But all of a sudden, it doesn't offend me. It just does. I don't even know what it was. I don't even remember what it was. I really don't.
A great piece of it, right. The law.
I
guess I will repeat that if we don't find that scripture troubling, we aren't paying sufficient attention.
Right. It is. It is troubling. Yeah.
Okay. On some level.
Yeah, right.
On some level.
I mean, and yeah, you're right, Ken. But
what? Because I saw that, that doesn't mean that I got it. That's easy going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I intended to complement, to be another layer of what you were saying, as opposed to
just because you see that, it doesn't mean that I can walk in it every day now.
How many times that happen? Not that I'm saying I'm doing, but I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
This is where I should be.
Well, few there be that find it. You know what? I want to be one of those.
I want to be one.
Right. Well,
And you know what? So keep praying to have more light on that.
Yeah. Amen.
You know?
Sure.
And if we're honest, we don't find it. God shows us where it is.
That's right.
God will make a way.
God will make a way.
You know, those guys that walked away, it wasn't a few minutes probably when Jesus kept talking about the same fact. Yeah, I mean, all they had to do was stick around for a little bit longer. They were just too quick to make it bad.
They were on the fence, and I'm out of here.
Yeah, of course. He kind of said it, and he didn't try to explain it any farther, though. Right. In the scriptures that follow, anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, because he all of a sudden he needed the serious ones to be.
That's right. It was God thinning it out.
It was God's decision, and
in the parable of the sower. And one of those says, and those who they were offended by the word of God.
Right.
Didn't take root, whatever. So if it didn't take root and you heard this, you're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, you aren't mm-hmm. going to stick around.
And you know why John was on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation?
Yeah, because he was
of the word of God.
Exiled. The word of God.
They were so much against what he was preaching. And the name of Jesus Christ, it says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I for one am thankful that you shared that, because that was good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we can't be offended. Great peace of the love God's word.
Yeah.
Don't let anything offend you. And I tell you what.
You're talking to Charlie now, right?
the natural man wants to put a coating around it and not get offended in that way.
Yeah.
And that's not what you're talking about.
That is also very true.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Especially here.
Or explain it away when they don't have the revelation.
You guys can totally disagree with me. I don't get offended. I don't know if I ever have. Because I want heaven more than that.
Well, you know what? I think, to be honest, in our own selves, we may be a little, but what I've done, but I didn't speak it. Then I went home, prayed, and whatever, and then either found out I was off, or okay, and I thought, well, I don't have to go back and say anything. You know, if I was right, it don't matter. Yeah, because it ain't me anyway.
Yeah.
If this gets shared as a revelation, it wasn't mine, mm-hmm. it was his, you know,
mm-hmm.
or any of us. It ain't us. So that's why we shouldn't get offended, because we could be off a little. Well, if we are, that's just not, then it ain't God, and so who wants it, you know?
Mm-hmm. We've got eternity to get straight.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a long time.
So now you're okay if you don't know everything. Yeah. I'm just saying, okay. Well, that's real progress, Steve. Yeah. That's really encouragement.
Real progress or old age, one or the other.
It's acknowledging that I'm not going to get it all done.
Right.
Unless God does it.
Unless right. God does it.
Yeah. I'm going to keep saying that because you can't ever limit God.
Mm-hmm. Sure, right. Exactly right.
You know?
That's right. I think Pablo's point was good, though, that making it strictly the word is offensive in and of itself.
Oh, right, yeah, exactly.
That is offensive.
Yeah. You know? Oh my gosh. No, we got preachers, we got Bible studies, we got books. Mm-hmm. Why would we want just the word?
Why would we want to limit ourselves to just one thing?
Yeah, I already read it. I already did. Oh my gosh.
And think, some of where they were at. Well, we got the law. Why do we want to listen to what he's saying? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
They should prepare us if we ever get confronted, you know, like, hey, well, just the word.
Just the word.
They're going to walk away and think you're crazy, most of them.
Or the flip side of that. The second coming and you don't recognize them.
Right.
You know, you just act like the Jews. No, you're not him that was spoken of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one like, I really don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to be in that place. Yeah.
They wouldn't let anybody make a claim to be the Messiah for fear of...
Well, they had other motivations. They didn't want to lose their position and things, but yeah.
So, but, yeah. But
well, yeah, you can be the Messiah if you'll free us from the Romans.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Then you can be our king.
Right.
Yeah. They had a problem that's common, the Jewish leaders, and it would be the same in the Catholic Church, it would be the same in the Pentecostal Church, in any of the churches. If this was really from God, they would acknowledge us.
You are the leaders of
or if this was really of God, we would be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, we would... And that's what that Church of Christ minister said, you know, years ago, 50-some years ago.
Or are you saying...
We know it's not from God, because if it was from God, we would be doing it.
Are you saying if this was of God, then there would be the signs to...
And that was in relation to tongues?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm.
Because they were right.
Uh-huh.
They were righteous.
They were claiming, hey, we're the only true followers of Christ because we have Christ in the name of our church.
we're called Church of Christ.
Yeah, if only it was that easy.
We're the living church.
I'm going to have eternal life. Yes. And how do you know that's true? Well, because it's in our name. Yeah. How could it possibly not be?
Right. Oh, I get such a kick out of that.
Yeah.
It's an exaggeration of what we all would have attended, you know. But
The Jewish leaders had a totally, everything they believed was wrong. They were looking for a Messiah that would establish the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
They were not looking for a city who would build their followers.
Or the kingdom of God. Yeah,
they weren't looking for a kingdom.
They were looking for...
They wanted a natural Messiah, or they got a spiritual one.
They said, you know, remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus? They said, we were looking for the Messiah to send us...
Free us from the Romans, or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, something that... But anyway, what they were saying was that we're looking for a man like David, you know.
Reestablish that glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're looking for old man.
Yeah,
but which two guys is this? Because weren't they the ones that then their eyes were open?
Yeah.
They were, but before that.
Okay.
But after that, when they first started talking, Jesus joined them. They didn't know
right,
what it was.
Right.
Yeah, why do you feel so bad? Well, we had hoped that it was the...
And,
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he says...
I didn't realize they said that they were looking for the...
And he asked
to Israel to be...
He said, what are you talking about? And so they went on, they said, well, are you a stranger here?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You haven't heard?
You haven't heard what's going on?
Must be in, like, one of the Gospels. Probably it says
Acts.
Twice.
Acts?
Luke 24.
No, I don't think it's...
Oh, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's Luke 24 about Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Let's see, where are we here? Oh, verse 21.
24:21?
Yeah, 24:21. Well, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel.
Yeah, see, that's
what I'm looking for. Beside all this, is the third day, yeah. We were hoping he was the one that was going to redeem Israel.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's...
Well, I wonder if it's because he went away that they thought it wasn't going to happen.
Well, see, they took the Old Testament prophecies and assumed from these prophecies that God was going to reestablish Israel as a major nation.
Yeah, but you know they were actually basically believers.
That's what I mean.
So they said to him, "The things." He said to them, Jesus, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping. But they didn't, they are saying to redeem.
Yeah, but that's how they didn't mean it in the spiritual sense like we understand it.
Yes,
they weren't. The leaders were not looking for.
No, the leaders weren't
for a king. The new heaven and new earth.
Yeah. Know,
that's not what they were looking for.
Because they said yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures as things concerning himself.
But you know, Nicodemus and a lot of the one that he talked to, they were not looking for what we are beginning to understand.
Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight.
It says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's not what they were doing.
Yeah. I wonder what that phrase, we were hoping he'd be the one who was going to redeem Israel. I wonder what...
Because that kind of sounds like redemption is the forget, you know.
It sounds like a spiritual thing as opposed to a natural one. I wonder if it is.
So you would question it because if you didn't, like, obviously they didn't have the full revelation of it because then after he told them, then it says, and God didn't open their eyes until after, you know. So you couldn't really blame them necessarily.
But I think even the apostles, the disciples, didn't know where you get that for a long time.
Yeah, they didn't have all the vision either, the whole revelation of
they're looking, the guy. The whole nation was looking for a reestablishment of the Jewish nation, which would almost look like that as a possibility now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people would like to see America restored like it was ever at its most spiritual high point.
Yeah.
It's never, you know. Yes, it's been a certain atmosphere for the spirit, but not the whole country, for sure. You know, every once in a while I get kind of excited when I think, what's it going to be like when Israel finally realizes that there was a Christ and that they can all of a sudden accept him, you know?
Well, he's going to appear to them. You know, on the Mount of Olives, or where is that?
I got a feeling there has to be some kind of an awakening before that, though.
Well,
say of a small percentage.
We have a major, major problem today. And the major problem is that Jerusalem is visited primarily by Trinitarians.
Yeah, right.
That goes against everything they know.
Yeah.
And so to witness to the Jews, we can't do that. It has to be something supernatural.
They're asking to buy a thing that they know is wrong.
No, when you've got thousands of years of this, and there's one God, you know.
Well, if you're preaching one God, they may start to listen.
Yeah.
Well, it's all up to God anyway. It'd be God doing it, so, you know.
Yeah.
However he wants to do it. He might use the Gentiles, he may not, you know. He may raise ones up within Israel, you know.
Well, the true old Israelite will never buy a Trinity.
Well, I remember when Mike Mara had a really good friend that was Jewish. And the guy finally started listening because Mike was saying, well, there isn't a Trinity. But then he didn't have the revelation of just the humanity either. I think it was kind of the dual nature.
Yeah.
And the guy was really drawn and drawn. But the pressure from family was so great because I don't think they were hearing that side of it. They just knew they're trying to convert our son to Christianity and they're all Trinitarians, and I'm sure that's the way they were thinking. So I don't think he ever fully converted at that time, you know.
Wow.
It was tough.
Mm.
Is that enough for one night?
Yep, I think so.
I think so.
God bless everyone.